Okay.
Thank you. It's good to just like mess up like right off the bat.
There's
just
that get too. It done.
Yeah. I think that is good.
That's my life philosophy. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Richard Clark.
And I'm Bethany Perkins.
We can't stop talking about the Enneagram.
So we decided to start a podcast where we get it all out of our system.
We're not experts.
We're just obsessed.
It's No Chill Enneagram.
A safe space for Enneagram fanatics.
And a really dumb idea for a podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to No Chill Enneagram. I'm your host, Bethany Perkins. I'm here with my co-host, Richard Clark. How are you, Richard?
I'm good. We're like hyping up the show now.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
It's been a weird experience.
It has. I'm excited because we have an awesome guest here with us today. We have Joy Beth Smith. Hi, Joy Beth.
Hi, guys.
Hey. So Joy Beth is a writer, an author, a managing editor at Christianity Today. And most importantly, she is an Enneagram 2.
Really, we should have led with that in the
bio.
I
know, but I just felt like best for last.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely that's the most important part.
So Joy Beth, you have written a book called Party of One, Truth, Longing, and the Subtle Art of Singleness, which I have read, and it was amazing, and I loved it, and I related to everything on every page of the book. So I thought we would just love to talk about the Enneagram and singleness with you.
Joy Beth, do you think that being a two, like, helped you write a book or hurt?
It's really funny. Someone in publishing actually told me that they think twos are the worst people to write books.
Oh, I disagree with that. But
And what her justification for that was the reception of it, and it was right before my book came out, and she was like, "You're just so open to people's feedback for better and worse that it's very, very difficult for you to just like release it into the world, that you will absorb." Oh, totally. And I was like, absolutely. Like, I have read every single Amazon review and Goodreads review and blog post about my book.
Yeah. How do you deal with that? Like, how was that feeling of like it getting out into the world? And surely you got some like less than stellar feedback at parts, right? Like, because you can't please everyone, not because it's not a fantastic book.
Right. Well, like, I really haven't gotten any negative feedback. I know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I believed you.
I did too. I was going
with totally it. Believed you. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
No, I think that what helped me was hearing that. Honestly, it helped me hearing that of like, oh, this is going to be hard for me. And I'm going to like want to like, my natural instinct is going to want to like voraciously read all of it. Yeah. And it's like self-flagellation in a way of like inflicting pain upon yourself. And so I also didn't want to like deny myself that. Like I knew that I wanted that feedback. And part of it, I think, is the two-ness in me of like, I wanted so desperately for that book to meet a need. And so for me, that feedback, the desperate desire to read the feedback is the book actually meeting the need?
Yeah.
And so the reviews were either confirmation that it hit the mark or that it didn't. And so reading the reviews, it was actually really helpful because in so many ways, it was either like, yes, this absolutely met the mark, or you didn't meet the mark in this way. And as a two, especially if you're like striving to be healthy, that's the best thing you can hear is like, this didn't help me here. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, then I could have done better in this way, you know? Mm-hmm. And so especially because that whole book, what like my desire was to just like meet the need I saw, this hole I saw in the market of like, singleness books were trash, and there was such a desperate need for women in their 20s and 30s to like hear these things and for this conversation to start. And
yeah.
I just didn't feel like we were having that. And so for the comments for me were like either confirmation that I had done it or people telling me I could have done a better job or just like trolls. So I was like, oh, this is great. Like I'm getting all of the feedback that a healthy two needs.
Yeah.
And if I'm not in a healthy place, then it's, you know, like those are the bad days where I just like eat a bunch of Twizzlers and cry. Yeah.
do you ever do that too? Just...
Don't we all? Do you feel like, I definitely feel like twos have unique struggles with singleness, like because of our relational orientation and our attentiveness to what other people want as opposed to what we want. Does that resonate with you?
Totally. This is a little bit, so I learned about Enneagram pretty extensively for a couple of months, and then I like was introduced to subtypes, and I feel like the two especially has like a very large range that the subtypes delineate like really well. Mm-hmm. And so I am, there are different names for it, but I'm the sexual two, which
the one-to-one.
The one-to-one. And yeah, so
I hate that term sexual. Is
I
like,
know, me too.
It's just like really naive.
It's weird. Yeah.
Like someone came up with that and said, they'll get it.
Right.
We'll explain what it means.
Because it does not really have anything to do with like sexuality, really. So right. I don't know why they call it that, but.
Right. I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's kind of fun. But it does.
Well, what's funny is the website that I'm looking at that calls it one-on-one, the subtype for twos is still called seduction.
Yep, seduction. And I've heard that. Yeah.
Is that what you are, Bethany? Do you know yours?
No, I'm social.
Social. Okay, great. Then you can speak more to what that nuance is out to. So I think that most people, when they think of twos, actually think more of social twos.
Yes.
Because that's like the two that is like very much the one who like volunteers for everything at church and is like meeting you and like meeting your needs and usually like overextending themselves.
As opposed to trying to befriend everyone, their social twos are just a little bit more intentional about the people that they want to impress or get close to. That's kind of how I knew like this was my subtype, because I feel like the caricature of a two is like this sweet, like submissive, meek and mild, like servant hearted person, which I'm not that. Like I'm a little more like bold and opinionated and
there's like a large amount of like intentionality with the social twos of like how they're like navigating social relationships, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the networking of it all and like being able to see that, and not in a bad way, not in a good way, but it's that idea of like you have a really strong understanding of relationships and the way and like power dynamics in a room and the way that they're working and using that to your advantage or not, but at least an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is great. And so I am the one-on-one or the sexual. And the idea is like this idea of seduction. And so I read somewhere that like when taken to the extreme, this is like the fatal attraction. And I was like, and that's when I was like, oh, that's totally me.
The femme fatale.
Because I there are lots of parts of the two when described by people who aren't twos where I'm like, nope, that's not me. Like someone who volunteers too much, someone who like you're just going to show up with a pie all the time. And I was like, why does everyone talk about pies? Like,
God. It's such a cliche.
No, it's the worst. And and then I read something else and it was like, you know, twos actually like they're so much more concerned with meeting emotional needs rather than physical. And I thought that was really intuitive and really, really good.
Yeah, that's right.
And that they'll meet physical, but it's like they're happy to meet physical as long as it's in tandem with emotional. And so like I'm going to come over and bring you food and talk with you. And I was like, absolutely. And then it's like, and they will meet physical by itself, but they'll probably resent that significantly more. So like, I'll come over and help you move, but I'm not happy about it. And I was like,
yeah, wow,
sure. And that felt like it pegged me so much. Because people talk about these twos being like these really selfless, like, we're just going to do all of these things. And I was like, man, that is just really not me. Like, am I just behind the curve on like spiritual growth? but then hearing that emotional part of it, and I was like, oh, that's totally me. And then for the one-on-one, it was talking about what you really, really crave is like intimate emotional connection with people. And so, like, instead of going to a party, instead of being in a large social setting, anything like that, in a room full of people, I would rather be on a couch having a, like, serious heart-to-heart with my girlfriends mm-hmm. and a glass of wine. Yeah. And I'm like, every night of the week, that's exactly what I would rather be doing. And, yeah. like, vulnerability and connection and all of these things matter significantly to the one-on-one, yeah. too. And so I think that that's really important. But I also think, to the original question, what that does is it makes it feel like I have a craving for, obviously, a spouse. Mm-hmm. And it also feels kind of like a waste. Like, I was literally built for one-on-one intimate connection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is it good for? If I am going to live my whole life without a person, like, yeah. my person, you know? Yeah. It feels, and that's something that I really am, like, having to reconcile myself with right now. Mm-hmm.
Let's find out how bad it's gotten, Joy Beth. That's our next segment.
Yeah.
Our next segment is called How Bad Has It Gotten? And that's where you tell us how bad, just through some story of how the Enneagram has gotten
how
out
deep
of control.
In it are you?
So my poor roommate, Lauren, she moved here last April. She had no idea what Enneagram was. And since she moved here in April, I have indoctrinated her.
Awesome.
So we've not only typed her.
What's her number?
She's a 9.
My roommate is a 9.
It's the best.
I know.
9s are good roommates.
I love her.
9s are the best. They're so accommodating. Yeah. 9s are so great for 2s.
It really is wonderful.
She's the best, and
highly recommend this combination for roommates.
Right, right. It's what, and she, because she is the kind of roommate where it's like, I really want to hang out today, but I need to go get my car washed, and she's like, "Great, let's go." Mm-hmm. Like, 9s are the chillest, most wonderful roommates, and so she also, so we undertook the process of, like, typing every boy I've been interested in the past year.
Awesome.
So, like, whether by their own admission or by, like, stalking Twitter profiles.
Oh, yeah. You don't need – who cares what they have to say about it? We know.
Right, right. Like, yeah. I'm – like, you say you're a 5. I don't really trust that, you know?
Yeah.
So, this is our weekly disclaimer that you're not supposed to type people. We do it anyway.
We do it. Podcast. Yeah.
Right.
Very irresponsible.
Yeah. Right. And then we'll look up together. We'll look up, like, how my number pairs with that man's number and the possible like pitfalls of that mm-hmm. relationship, you know, yeah. and she'll give me feedback on, like, I think you could handle that. I don't think you could handle that. Well, remember John, he was a 7. That didn't go well. Like, yeah. you know, and so she's become my Enneagram relationship coach.
Yeah.
Walking me through this number pairing.
Yeah.
It's been a successful journey for us, and I highly recommend it.
I have totally done that, like, for myself, like, not with any real people or anything, just all hypothetically, but
sure.
yeah, but, like, thinking through, like, okay, which numbers would actually be a good, like, compatible relationship for me, and which numbers do I maybe want to marry and not want to marry? I don't know. I may have thought that through extensively.
Have lists. I have them ranked.
Oh, please share. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so
I'm so excited that someone else does this.
yes.
It's not just me.
No, I think 2s do this. I mean, I would be surprised if other 2s have, like, not thought about this.
Yeah.
Richard, don't think this is weird. This is not weird.
It's not weird.
No, this is totally normal for this yeah. podcast.
Yeah.
This is totally normal. It's totally fine.
This is a safe space. You're not allowed to judge us.
This is the definition of no chill Enneagram. I like
it. It is. Yeah.
So, you know, also disclaimer on Enneagram coaches say that as long as 2 people are healthy, that it doesn't matter
yeah,
what their numbers
yeah.
are. Whatever.
They say We're that.
Not, they're not. They have to say that because married
they
people are
to.
Already married.
Yes.
And they're freaking out.
Yeah. Right. And they don't want to. Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you right now, 2s should not be with 4s.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That is not good. That's not going to work.
About it.
I tell people this all the time.
Y'all should break up. If there's still a potential to break up, if you haven't sent the invites to the wedding yet.
Yep. Call it off.
Call it off.
Thank you,
that's
Joy
not
Beth.
Gonna work.
Thank you.
Okay, so as a four, I feel attacked right now.
Well, you're not married to a two, so it's okay.
That's true, but what is it about a four that really gets on a... What's the problem?
All right.
With twos and fours?
Well, I think... Well, here's my theory. It's because fours, even at their healthiest, just are built to be self-focused.
Yeah.
And twos, even at their healthiest, are always going to be others-focused. Mm-hmm. So in this relationship between a two and a four, the two, even if they're seriously so healthy, is always going to be more focused on the partner or significantly focused on the partner. And the four is probably going to be more focused on themselves.
Yeah. And to second that, I'm grieving a breakup right now. And my therapist, she very kindly in the last meeting that we had, she was like, you need to find someone who will like actively take steps to get to know you. Because one of the things in my last relationship was that I was like asking a ton of questions. And I was like, you know, it was maybe 70-30, like where he was talking either about him or I was asking questions about him or commenting on his stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then 30% was me. And the 30% of me was probably volunteering, not even like him question asking. And she was like, there are relationships that twos can be in that are 50-50. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And she was like, because you're with a partner who's pulling it out of you.
Yeah. And I feel like honestly, as twos, like we might be happy to do that for a while. Yeah. But then eventually we'll realize like we'll get resentful because we do that. So
can I just say that it's really ironic we're talking about how self-involved fours are on a podcast where I don't get to talk about myself at all. Like you guys are, this is not, this is the most torturous experience I've had in a long time, I think it's a really good segue to our next segment, which is, oh my gosh, you guys, Russell Moore is kind of open to the Enneagram and he is an Enneagram four.
Yeah, he is. So,
Joy Beth, did you know this?
Do we believe that about him?
I do.
Okay. So we need some background here.
Yeah.
Russell Moore, I think Bethany, you sent me a link to this podcast.
I did.
And it was like, Russell Moore did a podcast on the Enneagram.
I was freaking out because I love Russell Moore. But I definitely thought he was a one.
I said one wing too.
Yeah, but however, fours integrate to type one.
Mm-hmm.
So he, I think he's just a really healthy four.
Listen, if you followed him during the election, you know that this man is a four.
Okay.
He could not restrain himself.
Yeah, I liked that.
And he was convinced, like, here is a person, I related to him quite a bit during the election because I had started a new job that felt high stakes. And suddenly, like, history was happening. And I was like, my legacy matters here.
Oh, wow.
And you start acting out in all sorts of interesting ways. Like, I'm not saying for better or worse. I'm just saying you start doing stuff.
What'd you do? Did you get a tattoo or something?
No, like in your role, in the role you're in, right? Like I was an editor, so I started
not impulsive things, just like doing your job.
Yeah, you're trying to do your job in a way that history will look kindly on.
Oh yeah,
that you're concerned very much with legacy, questions of legacy, and I don't know, what are people gonna think about you and the work that you did?
Yeah. So Joy Beth, how does that make you feel knowing that Russell Moore is a four?
I mean, I'm actually a little upset by it.
Yeah,
I know. Because I really love old Russ.
I am so frustrated
Richard
right now.
Richard is so offended. We love fours. We do.
Well, the funny thing about fours is I'm offended, but also I totally agree with you guys.
Thank you.
Being a four is the worst. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is. No, I actually like, but I also relate so much to fours. Like, I just feel like I have a little four living inside of me. Yeah.
Why? What?
Okay, because my kind of default is like melancholy a little bit. And if I'm not careful, I guess, I can really withdraw and I can really spiral into like some sadness and like feeling really sorry for myself and thinking a lot about myself, which probably, I don't know if that's a very two. I think it's more of a four thing about me.
But here's the deal. Four for twos is a growth number. So
it is, yeah. But
so doesn't that mean you're more healthy than Joy Beth, it sounds like?
Yeah, I'm so much more healthier than you because I get really melancholy and sad.
Perfect.
No. So I have learned, or I've heard, that you can go to both like the high side and the low side of both your stress and growth number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you feel secure in your needs, in your number, you can just kind of default go to the low side of your growth number. You don't just automatically go to the high side of your four.
Yeah, I've definitely done that.
Growth number.
For my growth number, which is one, I've definitely found myself like being really like, oh, here's what happens. I get really like proud and convinced of my own awesomeness. And so I'm secure, right?
Yeah.
And then I start being a super, like a Pharisee. I've been called a Pharisee before.
Oh,
like
okay.
Rule-oriented, feeling like I have the structure that will make everything work, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's just a sign of like being, feeling secure in the needs of your type, but not necessarily like doing all the work of going to the high side of your growth number.
Maybe we can get Dr. Moore to come on and,
I bet we could.
And just like rail against twos. Like,
no, he's married to a two, though. He's married to a two.
Oh, wow.
God, I'm never going to have my moment in the sun.
Yeah.
I'm going to rail against twos when he's on anyway. I'm just going to be like, twos are the worst, huh?
We're not saying that fours are the worst. We're just saying.
I feel like Joy Beth may have said the words. Fours are the
you
worst.
You can't prove it. I just would like to point out that Joy Beth, if you would have married Russell Moore before he got married.
Okay, this is weird.
Your name would be Joy Beth Moore, which I think is funny.
Oh, that's awesome. This is important.
This
yeah, it is.
We are rewriting history right now.
Yeah. But and so for that reason, I hope that Russell Moore doesn't listen to this episode. But I do want to circle back to which numbers she wants to marry.
Oh, yeah.
Because we just said not fours, and that's it.
Wait. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, circle back.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, not fours, boo, but.
Boo fours.
But I would.
Love fours.
Would love fours. My most recent experience was with a five, and Bethany, I don't know if you've ever talked to someone who was a five.
Oh, yeah. I have tons of fives in my life.
And I have found that I really like fives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is going to be a good idea. In practice, it was very hard.
I totally get it. Yeah.
Because I think that there are like competing needs going on.
Mm,
of like the two has a desire for like intimacy and like relational needs, and their desire is that they're like their fears that they're like too much and that their needs are too much, and then the five's like fear is, or the five's need is for privacy, and they like just wall up and put a shield up and they aren't letting anyone in, and so in friendships I don't think that this really like rears its head too badly. In a relationship it definitely can throw you a curveball, so for that reason, I am happy to collect five friends.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may shy away from dating another one.
Yeah.
All right. So who's your top three that you do want to date? What's your top three numbers?
All right. So the two and the eight are supposed to be the ideal pairing.
Really?
Yeah. Because.
That makes
sense
to me.
That's surprising to me.
You know, I just read it.
Eight is not high on my list, but.
Well, because most.
Eights get a bad rep.
Eights get a bad rep, but it's something about the, like, I mean, the eights are, like, heavy pursuers, you know? And so I think it is that idea that the eight would draw out the two, and the two would just, like, like love and support who knows. I really like a good healthy one, not a weird one, but a good healthy one, especially if it's a wing two. But you know, if they have too much two in them, then we're competing twos, and that's not going to work.
So you don't want to marry another two?
No. I thought for a hot second that maybe because like
I'm still thinking for a hot second about that.
Oh my gosh. I know, because I read this thing by Russell Rowe about two twos getting together, and he was like, this never works because both of you don't want to be the center of the other person's universe.
You're crushing my dreams right now. But
I have a worse idea. Two fours.
Oh yeah.
Guys, I tried it. I tried marrying to another four.
Two fours.
And I tried marrying another four. I was married to one and it did not go well. It was bad.
I can imagine.
I actually know two fours and a really healthy marriage.
Well,
two fours, middle children, got married, and they are like happy as can be.
Middle children, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They're like drawn to each other in that weird, like, you know, magnetic way that middle children are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then my number one pick, sevens.
Yeah.
That is shocking to me.
You know, that's high up there for me.
It's shocking.
Well, you mentioned earlier that, like, the one guy was a seven and it didn't work for this reason. You didn't elaborate. But in my brain, I was thinking, twos and sevens would not work because...
Sure, they would.
I don't know. It just feels like, especially, like, with your subtype, you'd be focused on an intimate one-on-one thing and a seven's like squirrel.
Yeah. Well, see, here's my thing about sevens. See... When I was first thinking through this, because as I've said, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, seven was the number one number that I would want to marry. But if they are not capable of like facing like the dark, sad emotions, I can't deal with that because like I said, like I go there a lot. But what appeals to me about them is like, that they're fun and like outgoing and those types of things.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I love that they like as a two, I don't know if this is a two thing or just a me thing. I mean, I really want to experience the really fun parts of life, but I often don't want to initiate that or whatever. So I think the idea of like living beside someone who helps me like live that life would be really fun. But I think you're right. I mean, I've met some twos who do such a wonderful job of facing down horrible, nasty parts. And then I've met some twos who are literally incapable. And so you're like, oh, I don't. Yeah, it would be kind of a risky business trying to figure out which camp they're in.
Yeah.
Let's type people and things.
Do you want to do Parks and Rec?
Yay!
Let's type Parks and Rec characters. And start with the obvious. Actually, they're all kind of... I actually think this is maybe the easiest show to type people.
It is. So let's do it.
All right. Does anyone have a disagreement that Leslie Knope is a three with no wing at all?
What? I thought... I would think she's a one.
She's a hard one.
Yeah, she's a one.
You guys are one wing nuts. Two.
You know,
she's totally a one.
I did think a three, and then, but it is her strength of conviction on everything.
Yep, it's all about like the right and wrong, the absolutes. Like this is the right thing to do. We're doing it. It's not about like her own personal success.
Okay. Yeah, she is ambitious, but
she is.
You know, there are smart people who aren't fives.
What about Ann Perkins?
Oh, Ann Perkins.
She's got to be the two of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Especially she's like her support. Like changing to fit her boyfriends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was like, oh, Lord, Ann Perkins, you're convicting my soul right now. Oh,
that's Lord. Awesome.
Yeah. Two wing three, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, I can see it. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a nurse. That takes some drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she actually did. She transferred to the Scranton branch. So I'm that. Sorry. That's a The Office reference.
Yeah. Sorry. I just went brain dead for a second.
Mark, here's a throwback. Mark Brandanowitz.
Oh my gosh. This is a deep cut.
Right. I was kind of thinking 6 for him.
Remind me about him.
Well, he was a city planner.
Mm-hmm.
And he vanished. He left.
If he vanished, maybe he was a 9. He just went invisible.
I think one of the problems is, like, he just wasn't well developed even when he was there. Like, he just didn't really play much of a role. He was just normal guy. He almost felt like the straight guy. Like, Parks and Rec is a show that really doesn't have a straight person.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in the comedy sense, right?
Yes.
The straight man. like, everyone's a little goofy. Even Anne gets a little goofy in her two-ness sometimes.
Yeah.
But Mark just felt like the guy looking around like, who are these people?
Yeah, I feel like he's probably a 9.
Oh, 9. Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah. So,
what do you think, Joy Beth? Do you agree?
I'm trying to think, you know, I hated him so much. And the only number I feel that way about is a 4. So...
Wow.
I was not prepared for this.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
For this this buffeting.
Oh my gosh.
Tom Haverford. This is a hard one in my opinion.
Oh no. Mm. Tom's a 3.
He's a 3. No doubt.
He's so ambitious.
No
that
doubt.
Man's trying to take over the whole world twice.
Not a 7.
Yeah.
Not a 7.
No. Chris Traeger is a 7 for sure.
Okay, so we got I think we all agree that Chris Traeger is a 7.
Yeah. The 7est 7 that has ever been.
Ron Swanson. That feels like a 6
8
to me.
Oh, 5?
Oh, 5. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not like, he's a withdrawing type.
Okay,
for sure.
Yeah.
And he's
got
all those weird interests that 5s have.
For sure, a 5.
And he hoards information.
Uh-huh. He does.
That's what made me think he was a 6 because he like refuses to get library cards and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. 5 wing 6.
Yeah, but I think it's less about worst case scenarios and more about, though he is a little bit of like a...
Being private.
He's a little bit of like what, an apocalypse prepper or whatever.
Uh-huh.
A doomsday prepper.
Yeah.
So yeah, 5 wing 6 seems right to me.
Yeah.
What about
April Ludgate? April Ludgate is, I think, the best
April's
number.
An 8.
No.
What?
She's a 4.
She has to be...
She's a 4, guys.
Joy Beth, what do you think?
Break this tie.
Wait, yeah, break the tie. 8
tell
or 4.
Tell me your reasons.
I just feel like
she is
aggressive.
But she's attracted
ahead,
to dark. She's attracted to darkness.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Do you know what? I would peg April as a 4, but do you know who I do think is a female 8?
Okay.
Female 8.
Donna?
Donna.
Yeah,
Donna.
Not a 2?
No.
No, you're right.
No. I just have to say, so April and Andy, I have a couple friends who like are April and Andy. Like, especially when they first got together and got married, their personalities just were the exact same as April and Andy. And my friend, the wife is an 8 and the husband is a 9. And it was like the most surreal thing watching that show and knowing my friends. And it was just like the same. But,
interesting.
So that's maybe why I think April's an 8, because she reminds me so much of my friend Allison.
But also Andy makes me think of a 7.
He does. Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's a 9. I think he's a 7.
Oh, really? I kind of thought maybe 7 wing 6. In my head, I kind of had him as a 6 because he's so stinking loyal and like, you know, devoted, especially like to Leslie after Leslie like bailed him out and all of this stuff. But I can, yeah, sure. He's 7, sure.
Andy is not concerned about worst case scenarios.
No,
is
I don't
my
think
argument.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He did. He has no fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben Wyatt.
6.
I think 6.
Yeah,
for
totally.
Sure. I think that formative experience as being a mayor, that is what's yep. called a childhood wound.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Poor Ben.
Oh, that's sad. Okay. We talked about. All right. What about Craig Middlebrooks? Billy Eichner. Billy Eichner's character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Is what he is an unhealthy he? Too? I just love and I love and I love and I can't get anything back.
Yeah, Wikipedia describes him as overly passionate. So I can see that being
I love that character so much. Yeah, I could see that.
What about cool. John Ralphio?
Oh, gosh. Definitely seven. He's got a lot of pain he's escaping.
I don't know. I think, I could see him being a seven or a three as well.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because as we all agreed, Tom Haverford is a three.
Well, on a related note, can we make Enneagram slang happen? That's the name of our next segment, where we try and make Enneagram slang happen and determine
what do you got for us?
Whether that's a good idea. Well, first I wanted to ask Joy Beth if you had any Enneagram slang you wanted to try and make happen.
I like to use the numbers as verbs.
Ooh.
So,
For
instance, I was in a conversation with a friend and she's a two and I'm a two. And, we were both like kind of having really crappy days, but I like sacrificed my crappy day to ask her questions about her crappy day. And then when it came out that I had had a crappy day, she was like, "Oh, you two'd me."
Yeah.
And I was like, I did. I'm so sorry.
That slang works better for some numbers than others, in my opinion. I'm just saying, I grew up using two as a verb and it didn't mean Enneagram related things.
Wow. Okay.
We can what is it called when you take back a word and you like reclaim it and you
I think it's reclaiming it.
Reclaim it?
Yeah, we're going to reclaim it, Richard.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to mean that anymore.
Reclaim dropping a deuce.
Well.
So like you just got four'd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you're totally four-ing out right now.
Yeah.
If you're getting like real emo on me and I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good. Just got nined. That is like not a thing, I don't think.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like when you ask someone where they want to go eat and they're like, I don't care.
Yes. Like, yeah. You're nining on me and I really just need you to make a decision.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or when they just like fall asleep.
That's a call.
My roommate
that's
does
a
that.
That's a fouring thing.
You know, I don't know. I think nines like sleeping is like their thing. I think they have a monopoly on sleeping.
They're very
They do
thoughtful.
Not have a monopoly on them on it. That's for sure.
Okay, nines and fours share it.
All right, just real quick, I'm going to try an Enneagram. I think Joey Bestling might happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start doing that for sure.
For some numbers, I'm still not convinced that it can work for all of them.
Okay.
Because you just won, like, that's confusing.
Yeah. Wond.
Yeah, it would
just
have to be wond. Like,
all
he
wond.
Yeah. You're just wanting all over the place. And then people are like, are you having a stroke?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my Enneagram slang real quick is growthers.
What?
Growthers.
What?
That's a person who is really into the Enneagram and wants to use it as a method of growth as opposed to just like, oh, that's what I am.
Growthers?
We're growthers.
That sounds like a medical condition.
It makes me feel really uncomfortable.
It does. Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah, that's not going to happen.
I don't think we can make that happen.
And what would it be called? Like, someone told me that the purpose of Enneagram was to, like, not only teach you about yourself, but to have compassion for other people.
Yeah.
So would that be called, like, compassionators?
No, that would be called empathars.
And also, wow. I like how you just made me feel stupid. Like, no. Compassionators.
It's Empathars. No,
what a silly name. It's this one.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that, no, I don't think we can make that happen. I mean, right. You can try.
Okay.
I won't stop you.
Well, no, I'm not going to try. I feel embarrassed to just randomly call myself a growther in conversation.
I actually want you to do that now.
I think it's how much emphasis you're putting on the th, like growthers.
Okay, growthers? Is that how you say it? Like it rhymes with Grover? Growther?
Growther.
No, they're both weird.
It's just weird.
Growthers. All right. Endorsements. This is where we suggest specific things for specific numbers to do that will help them in life or make them feel better or whatever. But in this case, because it's Joy Beth, we want Joy Beth you to give some dating tips for each number or at least specific numbers.
Some of,
maybe something we haven't talked a lot about.
Yeah. So, yeah. Maybe not fours or fives.
Or twos. Please
or
not.
Or twos. We've abused them enough.
So, what are some dating tips for ones, Joy Beth?
Oh my gosh.
Just one dating tip.
I know. I'm trying to even imagine, like, what would a dating tip for a one be?
Okay, I'll start.
Okay.
Ones. Like, when you're on a date and your meal comes and it's not right, don't do anything about it. Just be okay, okay?
Just roll with it.
Just roll with it.
That's good.
That's good.
All right. Yeah. Threes.
Well, twos.
We're skipping twos because we're running low on time. And
no,
we
but
talked
I want a dating tip.
All right, quick. Yeah, twos.
I would say you have to, there are lots of things in our lives that we try and control, like have our hands on the dials on and we're trying to control. And you can't do that with lots of things in dating. And so, like lots of relationships and all of that from the beginning, you have to just take your hands off the dials and see how it unfolds. So
I'm going to write that down in my journal.
My therapist told me, so you're welcome to it.
Oh, I have lots of journals.
Hey, can I ask a quick question about your therapist?
Yeah.
What's their name
what's
and
their
number?
What's their name and number?
No, I was going to ask, do they know about the Enneagram?
Yes.
That's did you specifically ask for someone who did?
No.
So when I started therapy, I thought about it, but then I was like, I don't want to be that guy who does that. So I don't want to have to. So my therapist doesn't know what the Enneagram is, and I'm constantly having to explain it to them because I'm like, the best way for me to explain this is, and then she's like, okay. And then I just feel bad that I spend most of my time explaining what numbers
You're
are.
Like, I just really like Ford really bad today.
And yeah, my therapist knew what it was. And actually, my therapist is a two, which is funny.
Nice.
Lovely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Threes, Bethany. We're just going to go in circle. And so everyone can get some chances.
Yeah. I think I would imagine threes should really be intentional about trying hard not to show off or like working too hard to impress the person that they are on a date with.
That's good.
Just be yourself.
Yeah, they're not interested in your achievements in that moment.
Nope.
Fours.
Take it away, Richard.
Ask questions. Don't do anything else but ask questions.
Don't talk about yourself.
Look, let's be honest. You will talk about yourself.
Yeah.
But try not to. Just try to ask questions.
That's good.
Joy Beth, fives.
Yeah. I think that you should try and remember that you have way less of a need for the other person than they have of you. So whatever amount of time you think has passed since your last communication or message or whatever.
Oh, that is good.
Like they That's think excellent. Three times the amount of time has passed. So you should definitely message her, him, whoever, and reach out and yada, 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 because they're freaking out already.
I'm really satisfied with this segment right now. This is going well.
This is good.
Don't screw it up, Bethany. It's your turn.
Okay. Sixes. No pressure or anything. Sixes. Try with all of your might not to overthink everything. Maybe just, I don't know. I don't know exactly how to tell you not to do that, but I think that.
You sound like an Anya-thought right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to do the opposite of your natural inclination to overthink everything.
What would happen if today you didn't do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I just, yeah, that's all I got. All
right. Sevens.
Sevens.
I would say you should trust your instincts when it comes to date planning. Because you're a really good date planner. You know how to have a good time.
Yeah.
So plan that date. Lean into the date planning aspect of it.
That's good.
For
Joy
eights,
Beth, eights.
I would say that you probably have great, strong communication in pursuing what you want. Use that to your advantage, but also be gentle. So if you are pursuing mm-hmm. someone wholeheartedly, that can feel great to some people. It can also scare a whole bunch of people off. So mm-hmm. tread lightly and let people down lightly as you go.
Nice.
That's good.
Bethany, nines.
I think for nines, they should be okay talking about themselves and like letting themselves be known and be present.
Sweet. Yeah. Joy Beth, as you go, we like to send our guests off with some parting advice from the lens of the Enneagram because
yes.
we are not experts, but we are obsessed.
Yeah.
It's
just so wise.
What is
us.
What is a problem or an issue you're having in your life that you need advice about? If you don't have one, I have one for you.
Wow. Okay. I'm very curious as to know.
It's just based on something we talked about earlier.
Okay. I want you to double problem solve. I want a husband and whatever you think mine is.
Mine was what your next book should be.
Oh, okay, that too.
You want a husband? That's the thing you want. That feels off brand to me.
Richard, I think you should just go ahead and answer this one and I'll just listen.
The husband one?
Yeah.
I don't know how to find a husband. I've never done that. I can tell you what Jennifer did.
What'd she do?
Be consistent at your church small group.
Oh, I've been doing that for years.
That's some real lame
Come
advice.
On.
No, here's my advice.
Okay.
You gotta stop looking, and once you stop looking,
oh,
God will
up.
Bless you.
Shut up.
I'm trying to think of not jokey, terrible advice.
Okay, why don't
but
you
like,
just tackle
come on.
The book?
Saying I how do I find a husband is like saying like how do I make a bunch of money? Like yeah.
Well, you asked
obviously.
Me what my problem was.
Yeah, I have the same life problem, by the way.
That's not really like a good That's not a good life
okay,
problem.
Okay, we're not here to judge life problems.
That's true.
Okay. We'll just open it up to our listeners.
Tell Joy Beth how to find a husband.
Yes. Yeah.
Me too. Also.
All right. Here's what your next book should be about.
All right.
Through the lens of the Enneagram, if you're an Enneagram 2, your growth line is to 4. So I think it should be something that disciplines you into that number. This is kind of how I work professionally, is I like put myself in positions where I have to grow as a person. And so I think if you can write a book that forces you to exercise those four things.
Mm-hmm.
Then
just four it up.
Just the allows you to four some stuff. Then I think that'll be good. I'm trying to think of a concrete. Oh, write a memoir. That's what you should do.
Nope.
Yeah, I was just.
Try again. So a book about like that requires me to like own my needs and talk about hard things. And
yeah.
All of that.
Yeah, so maybe just write the book you just wrote, but over again. I hope that's helpful.
Great.
I will take all of this into consideration.
This has been No Chill Enneagram. It is hosted and produced by Richard Clark and Bethany Perkins. Edited by Richard Clark. Theme music is Max Flashback by Lee Rosenberg. We want to hear from you. If you're an Enneagram number 9, 4, 2, or 7, feel free to leave a review on iTunes. If you are a 6, please only do this if you trust us. If you are an 8 or a 1, please do not leave us a review on iTunes. But you can feel free to reach out to us on Twitter, where we'd love to be challenged by you or hear from your overflowing inner critic. Our Twitter handle is @NoChillEnneaPod. That's @NoChillEnneaPod. Enneagram number 5. Please include us in your next exhaustive list of hilarious podcasts. And 3s. You can just give us credit after we inspire you to do whatever amazing thing you're going to do next. If you are a number 1 through 9 and you haven't already, subscribe to this podcast wherever podcasts are subscribable.